If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to be turning with me over to the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. I'm not going to deal in detail with this entire chapter, but I've looked at it several times, and there's too much good in it not to read the entire chapter. Amen. Of course, I often remind the men at school, doesn't matter who the preacher is, after the Word of God is read, it goes downhill from there. For life is in these words. Power is in these words. Amen. And the Word of God says in Isaiah 55, ho, it's a call to attention. Listen, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bringeth forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his good word this morning. There's much in this tremendous chapter. It's filled with invitations. It begins with an invitation. If you're thirsty, to come and drink of him. If you're hungry, come and eat of him. There's an invitation to the sinner to turn and to come unto the Lord. There are imperatives in this chapter. There are commands. He says, come. He says, hear, obey. He says, forsake and turn. Then there's an indictment that we're really going to look at in a moment in this chapter. The Lord says, your ways are not my ways. But there's much inspiration in this chapter. God offers what money cannot buy. God's willing to receive those that have sinned against him. He promises forgiveness, mercy, and pardon. He promises fruitfulness as the rain falls and brings forth bud. God will bring forth spiritual blessings. And as the rain softens dry, hard soil, the Word of God will soften dry, hard hearts this morning. He promises faithfulness. His Word doesn't return void. He promises favor. He promises blessings this morning. Oh my, what a tremendous chapter this is. But again this morning, we want to meditate upon what God is like. And I know we've been in different groups for the past couple Sundays, and if you were not here on a Sunday morning, I hope you tuned in. But we've been meditating upon what God is like. And you know, if you really don't know someone, and if you don't know what they're like, and the truth is, you don't fellowship with them. You don't commune with them as a close friend. Oh, you may talk. You may talk small talk. You might talk about the weather. You might talk about sports or something. But if you don't know what they're like, the truth is, you sort of keep your guard up. The truth is, you're not open and honest with them about everything. And the sad thing is, though, that's often how we treat God. And it's often for the very same reasons. And if a person does not know God and know what God is like, they often guard themselves wondering, well, will he accept me as I am? Will he judge me? Will he forgive me? Will he abuse me like others? So again, this morning from Isaiah chapter 55, I want to meditate upon what God is like. We've looked at his heart. By what he himself said. He himself said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. We look like Sunday morning at his actions. But this morning from verses 8 and 9, I want us to meditate upon his thoughts. What are his thoughts like? What does the Word of God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now the truth is this morning, these verses are often quoted and taken out of context. Something happens that we don't understand. Something happens that we cannot comprehend. And we often say, well, God's ways are not our ways, as if though that was a cliche. And sometimes when God has us do things that just doesn't seemingly make sense to us. I mean, when God says, walk around these walls day by day, and on the seventh day, walk around the walls of this city, and it'll come down flat, that just doesn't seem to make sense there. And some of those Israelites could have said, well, God's ways are not our ways. And when Elijah was about to answer, and the God that would answer by fire, when Elijah was ready for his turn, and the wood and all of that was put in order, again and again and again, God says, water it down. Wet the wood. I mean, that's not how you start a fire. And Elijah could have said, well, God's ways are not our ways. We often say that when God has us do something and we don't understand it, it doesn't make sense to us, and we can't comprehend. But listen, this chapter is not about any of that. This chapter is not about his providence. This chapter is about his pardon. This chapter is not about his mysterious ways. This chapter is about his merciful ways. Now, granted, oh my, in times of darkness and in times of difficulty, oh yes, we can take encouragement that his ways are not our ways, but that's not what this passage is about. This passage is about sin and sinners and salvation And more than anything else, when it comes to sin, and when it comes to sinners, and when it comes to salvation, mark it down. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts this morning. Oh my, nothing reveals what God is like. Nothing reveals what His thoughts are like when we go to thinking about sin, when we go to thinking about sinners, and when we go to thinking about salvation. And I could say this, nothing reveals how unlike God we are, how unlike God we are when we talk about sin, and when we talk about sinners, and when we talk about salvation. So this morning, what is God like? What are His thoughts like? Oh my, we ought to say, well, you can't read anybody's mind. We can read God's mind, for He has recorded for us His mind. He has recorded for us His thoughts this morning. Three main things, and we'll be done this morning. I want to meditate this morning as we consider His thoughts. I want to meditate on the difference of His thoughts and the distance of His thoughts and then the desire of His thoughts. So let's get at it. The difference of His thoughts. We're made in the image of God. We bear His image. That's the reason we can have thoughts. That's the reason we can think thoughts. No pun intended, that's the reason we can reason. We've been made in His image with the ability to think and the ability to have thoughts. But you know, just like a coin, you got a coin maybe in your pocket this morning. Just like a coin bears an image there, as you and I bear the image of God, because we're in His image, we can entertain thoughts, think thoughts, as I've said, have thoughts. But like a coin gets marred, like a coin gets scarred, like a coin over time tarnishes, the image of God that we've been made in, it has become marred. It has been tarnished. It has been scarred by what we call sin. And because of sin, our thinking is no longer right. Our thinking is not as God intended it, as God intended it to be. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that our minds, our understanding, our thoughts have been darkened. Darkened by sin. That's why in the book of Proverbs, it says there that every man is right in his own eyes. There's a reason man thinks that way. It's because his mind, his thoughts have been tarnished by sin. In fact, just a page back to the left in my Bible in chapter 53, it tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And 10 chapters to the right, it tells us that we've all led others to their own way. We've all led others to their own thoughts. Well, hear me this morning. Our thoughts and our ways, because of sin, they are not like God's. I mean, the chapter opens, men sell stuff for money. Men sell for a price. But God gives without price. God gives without money. You're thirsty this morning, you can come and drink. Whether you got a dime, you know. You're hungry this morning, you can come eat of the bread of life without anything in your pocket this morning. That's not how man operates. Oh, my man. Man lives, man pursues, man longs, man labors for what doesn't satisfy. But God offers what's good. God offers what does satisfy. But as I've already said, nothing shows us the difference in our thoughts and His thoughts like the thoughts concerning sin this morning. How a man thinks about sin and how God thinks about sin, they are different this morning. Oh my, there's a difference in an amount, in the amount. Man says, well, a little sin doesn't hurt anybody. After all, no one's perfect. After all, everyone's doing it. That's how men think about sin. But that's not how God thinks about sin. Oh, God says all sin matters. And God says I am perfect. God could easily say I am not doing it. And God says sin, every sin, all sin matters. Why? Even one sin matters in the eyes of God. Why, James says there in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, you keep the whole law, yet you offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Oh my, man says all one sin doesn't matter. God says even one sin matters. Now, I didn't come over here this week and count, but I'd say they might be 2.5 dozen links in those chains that are holding up those chandeliers this morning. 2.5, maybe 3 dozen links, if that many. How many of them have to break for the chandelier to fall? Do half of them have to break? Do maybe 5 or 6 have to break? Do 2 or 3 have to break? No. Just one has to break for the chandelier to fall, and just one sin separates us from God. That's not how man thinks about sin. There's a difference in our thoughts. There's a difference concerning the amount. There's a difference concerning the effect. Man says, well, now, sin doesn't hurt anybody. It's a private thing. It won't affect anyone else. But God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they ate and they died. Immediately, spiritually, and eventually, physically. And Paul, the Word of God, traces every sin, and the Word of God traces all death, COVID and otherwise, back to that sin. Don't take my word for it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the Word of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh my, that's not how man thinks, though, about the effects of sin. Oh, it really won't matter. What won't have much effect? Oh my. Achan thought, oh, nobody's looking. Nobody's looking on. I can take these garments. I can take this wedge of gold. Oh my. It won't affect anybody. Oh my. But all of the nation was brought to stand still. All the nation forward progress stopped. And when the cursed thing was found out, I remind you, they took Achan and his entire family out and stoned them. You know, there's a reason the Holy Ghost has Isaiah mention the sure mercies of David in verse 3. It's because God wants to hold David up as an example of the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God not being alike, being different. Because David thought on one occasion, well, it really won't matter. There won't be any effect if I don't go out to battle. When kings go out to battle, but one day led to another day, and led to another day, and those days led to night, and the next thing we know,
David has taken another man's wife to himself, or mine, and to try to cover it up. David issues and involves a plot and sets in motion a plot, and David has Bathsheba's husband, one of his faithful men, a slave. David's guilty of one seemingly innocent sin led to others and others and others and others. And when God exposed David, I remind you, he says, oh, I want you to know. I want you to know, yes, thy sins have been forgiven. Thy iniquity is covered. But oh my, God says the sword will never depart from your house. God says rebellion will rise up from your own household. And as you've taken another man's wife, others will take your wives and do in public what you did in private. Man thinks, oh my, sin really won't matter. Man thinks sin won't have any effect, but David tells us otherwise, because here I am in 2021, the last Sunday of February, talking about David's own sin. I'm going to tell you, the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God are different concerning sin. The amount, the effects, oh my. But there's a difference in attitude. There's a difference in attitude. Men and God don't deal with sin in the same way. There's a difference in attitude. Men want to cover. Men want to hide. God wants to cleanse. God wants to cleanse of sin. Oh my. Men have a different attitude towards sin. Men are reluctant to forgive. In fact, even man's attitudes towards forgiveness is different than God's attitudes towards sin and forgiveness. Man says, well, I guess I might can forgive if the offense is not too great. But I want to remind you this morning, every sin is great in God's eyes. Every sin is an offense in God's eyes. But God says, if you will but turn unto me, I will show mercy. I will abundantly pardon. Man says, well, I might forgive if the sins aren't too many. But oh my, God says one is too many. God says anything that's not of faith, that is of sin. And as surely this morning, surely as there's sand on the seashore, our sins number more than the grains of sand on the seashore. But God Almighty says, if you will but turn and if you will but forsake your wicked ways, I will show mercy. I want to tell you, that's a different thought about sin than man has. Man says, well, as long as it's not intentional. But oh my, every sin against God is intentional. Every sin against God is willful rebellion. But he says, come unto me. Man says, well, I'll forgive, but as long as it's not repeated. You keep doing it, I'll not forgive you. In fact, by the days of Jesus, the Pharisees figured that the number 7 was a pretty good number. And you could get forgiveness for lying or thieving or whatever you might want to name right there. As long as you didn't do it 8 times. 7, you'd be okay. But you went to 8, you're out of luck. But I want to tell you, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our. Peter said, remember, Lord, how often should I forgive? How long, Lord, how often do I forgive? 7 times? Christ said, why, Peter? Why, till 70 times 7, amen. And Peter didn't have a calculator to calculate it up either. Oh, no. In an unlimited way, God says, I will forgive. Hey, if you live to be 70 years old, if you live to be 70 years old, and you've only sinned 3 times a day, whether in thought or word or deed, If you just sin three times a day, living to 70 years of age, that's over to 76,000 sins. I want to tell you, man's thoughts about sin and forgiveness are not the thoughts of God. Yea, even though we sin and sin again and again and again and again, God says, if you will but turn, if you will but forsake, I will abundantly pardon. Man says, well, as long as it's deserved, as long as it's provoked, as long as I've done something against him, I guess it'd be all right for him to do something against me. As long as it's deserved, as long as it's provoked. I want to tell you this morning, God's never done anything but good unto you. God's never done anything but good unto me. But oh my, in spite of that, we sin and we rebel. But God says, if you'll just come, if you'll just turn, I will show mercy. I'm talking about what God is like and how we're unlike God. Man says, well, I'll forgive if he can make restitution. If you can repay, if you can compensate, I can give a little forgiveness. I don't find anything in verse 7 about repayment. I don't find anything about compensation. No, it's just about confession. That if you'll forsake your way, if an unrighteous man will forsake his thoughts, if he'll return unto the Lord, God will have mercy. God will abundantly pardon. God's attitudes towards sin, his thoughts, are different. Man might say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll forgive some of them. I'll forgive in part. But they're just some things I'm not going to let go. And that's why some of you sitting here on these pews this morning are miserable. You're holding on to some things that you refuse to let go. You do that because of your thinking. You do that because of your ways. I'm glad God doesn't think that way. I'm glad that's not his way. Saying, oh, I'll forgive a lot, but I'm going to hold on to this. No, not in part, but the whole, but the whole, but the whole. Will he forgive you and will forgive me? I'm talking about God's thoughts are different than man's thoughts. Oh, my. Concerning sin, oh, my. That you want to see an illustration of it? Think about the prodigal and his father. I mean, he thought, well, at least my father's got some hired servants and at least he's got some bread back there. Maybe he'll let me live out back, maybe. Maybe he'll let me have a little bit. Maybe he'll let me have some leftover. Maybe he'll let me have the heel out of the low. Maybe he'll just let me have a little bit of bread on my. Hey, but what does that daddy do? No, he comes running down the road and embraces him on my. He's not calling for bread. He says, kill the fatty calves and bring them robes and bring the shoes and put on my boy. I want you to know that boy could not have dreamt. That boy had no thoughts like the thoughts of his father. And hallelujah, our God's thoughts are beyond us. Especially when it comes to sin. Oh my, this morning. By the way, you ain't listening fast enough. I can tell you that. Behind the word thoughts here is the idea of weaving together. Read thoughts, think plans. Read thoughts, think purposes. That's what Jeremiah talks about. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh my, hallelujah. I'm glad there's a difference in the thoughts of God. I'm not going to preach it. But there's a distance in the thoughts of God. There's a distance, is what he says in that ninth verse. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Hey, it's not just that there's a slight difference between our thinking concerning sin and forgiveness. No, it's not just that we're off by a degree or two. It's not just that we're off by an inch or two. Of course, to remind you, you're going to frame up a building, you're going to raise up a building. I'll tell you, you might start at the first corner being an inch off, but when you get to yon end, you're going to be feet off, yards off. When it comes to our thinking and God's, it's not that there's just a slight difference. I tell you what, dude, go outside after a while and look up in the sky at the sun, or go out tonight and look up and view the stars. I want to tell you, our thoughts and his thoughts, that's not even a comparison. We're not even that close. We're not even that close, oh my. So when I preach, I think better than that. Oh, when somebody sins against you, are you ready to forgive? Well, some of you done thought of something already that you've been holding on to, because I mentioned it a minute ago. Oh my, this morning I'm talking about the distance of his thoughts. I'll tell you this morning, the most intense love, the greatest love, is the love of our God. And that's why God can say to sinners, come unto me and I'll show mercy. Come unto me and I will pardon. But I close with this. There's the desire of his thoughts. The desire of his thoughts. In spite of the sin, in spite of the rebellion, not just in David, in the life of the entire nation in this 55th chapter, in spite of all that, what does God say? Come unto me. Hear, which means obey. Hear, I will heal. You shall save, your soul shall be saved. If you but hear, if you but come, oh my, I will show mercy. I will abundantly pardon. Why? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The distance is great. In fact, the distance is so great, we couldn't get to him. So, hallelujah, he came to us. He came to us. That's why it says in the 53rd chapter, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And whoever you are this morning, matters not. Whatever you've done this morning matters not, because I'm not talking about man's thoughts. To man it matters who you are. To man it matters what you've done. But we're not talking about, we're talking about what God's like this morning. And whoever you are this morning, and whatever you've done this morning, you can find forgiveness, you can find mercy in him. So, hey, you know that preacher? Because I know what he's like. Oh yes, he's high. He says, I'm high and I'm holy. In fact, just two chapters over, that's what he says. He says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. And conjunction, and with him that is also of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh my, when we couldn't get to him, hallelujah, he came unto us. I want you to get me that song ready, Brother Doug. We'll sing it in a moment. Why would God do such a thing? It's because of what he is like. Meek and lowly. He wants to be found. That's why he says seek. Me, Hampton, and Holden were playing hide and seek the other day. I hid behind the curtains, but I kept my whole leg out because I wanted to be found. He wants you to come. That's why he says, come. He wants to remove the thorn and the briar. He wants to take pain and he wants to give peace. He wants to take away the briar and he wants to give the myrtle tree. A tree with shade and a tree with substance. A tree that can provide you with protection, but a tree that can give you provisions for life. I want to tell you, that's what God has, and he wants you to have it. His word is a record of his thoughts. His word is a record of his ways, and he's recorded them for us so you and I can read and you and I can know what he is like this morning. And he declares in this text that his word is trustworthy. His word will not return void. I can tell you this morning what his thoughts are towards you, because I know what he's like. And if you're thirsty, he says, come drink of me. And if you're hungry, he says, come eat of me. And oh my, if you want to know him, he says, seek me, I will be found. Oh my, he says, forsake your sin and I'll have mercy, and I will abundantly pardon. That's what God is like. So don't keep your distance from him. You don't have to fear being open, and you don't have to fear being honest with him because of what it's like. His thoughts are towards you. Thoughts of goodness, thoughts of peace, thoughts of forgiveness. We're standing, altar's open. Brother Doug is singing. You mind the Lord this morning.
Separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But he came to me.
How's he thought about you? And he's done stopped by in this service. I don't care whether you're here. I don't care if you're sitting in the balcony this morning. His thoughts are towards you. His thoughts are for you this morning.
He came to me. That's why he died.
Oh, yeah.
On Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me. when I was bound in chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and he drew me gently to his side.
That's because that's what he's like. That's what he's like this morning.
Today, in his sweet love, I now abide. But he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me.
Oh, yeah.
Died on Calvary when I could not come to where he was. He came to me.
You know, sometimes we maybe need to tell somebody something. But we get to thinking, I don't know what they'll think about me if I tell them. I don't know what they'll think. So we get hesitant. And see, we transfer and we go to thinking that God's that way. I'll tell you, he knows every thought you've got this morning. He knows everything you're dealing with this morning. And his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, are thoughts of goodness. You want freedom this morning? Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. There's only one whose thoughts matter. His thoughts are good. His thoughts are righteous. I tell you, that applies to sin. That applies to testifying. That just applies to everything this morning. I'm glad they just ain't anybody like him this morning. Send me one more verse, that last verse again.
The gulf that separated
me. There's a distance.
From Christ.
High than the heavens.
My Lord.
High and lofty. High and holy.
It was so vast, the crossing I could never fold.
Oh, listen. Just don't match up.
I cannot come to where you are.
But hallelujah, he's not socially distanced from those who want him.
But he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and he drew me gently to his side. Where today, in his sweet love, I now abide. But he came to me.
As they sung earlier, I am the reason that his thoughts were towards me, for me.
When I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I might be lost, dead in hell, had he thought about me the way others did. Why, I'd be in a mess even since I've been saved if he thought towards me the way others have. I wouldn't even be here as your pastor if he thought about me the way some of you think about me. But your thoughts don't count. And when you and I screw up, when you and I mess up, oh, if we thought the way the world, if we thought the way religion thought, my, that distance would once again be great. But hallelujah, I'm glad his thoughts are thoughts of peace, grace, and mercy. Oh my. You know, this thing of worship is what it is, and it's what it's not. It's really, really not because of what you think somebody else might think. It's because you're not just quite sure what he's like. But if it ever breaks in on you what he's like, I want to tell you, you'll want to worship. You'll want to adore him. As Brother Wade said on the broadcast this morning, they wouldn't be able to find us if it broke in on us what his thoughts are like. Blessed be the good name of the Lord this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house.